In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Over this past weekend, our nation's capital got hit with another snowstorm, the second in 2 weeks, which is really kind of rare for Virginia. I grew up 15 miles from the border in North Carolina, from the border of Virginia. And I called my mother to see how she was surviving, and she said, "We don't have power again." Well, thankfully, she has power now, and all is well. She has a fireplace, so all is well. But the storm really did wreak havoc. Obama called the snow the Snowmageddon, called this storm. And the New York Times quoted somebody calling it a snowpocalypse. Nothing like a huge storm to let us all know that, well, we're not really in charge. As children, we grew up believing that first and foremost, our parents are in charge. Even a snowstorm wouldn't slow down my Ohio-raised dad. He would go out there shoveling the car, chopping wood. No Snowmageddon for him, just snow. Something my dad could conquer, at least in my eyes. And we believe that when we grow up, much like our parents, we'll be in charge. And as we have grown more technologically advanced, what we are in charge of just seems to have grown. Nothing like a huge storm on the East Coast to remind us, no, not even when we're grown up are we in charge. In school, we learn to take control of our lives, to plan and prepare, to make lists, to take notes, to do better. The funny thing is, when I look back on my life so far, the most transformative parts of my life, the times where I felt most alive, is when I threw up my hands from the plan and just gave it up. When I entered something by not being in charge. The Peace Corps, teaching in a Montessori school, becoming a wife, becoming a priest. I learned early on that plans, even carefully plotted out ones, don't go as planned. This week was also the 100-year anniversary for the Boy Scouts, and I was reminded of my Girl Scout years. I was reminded of an early learning in Girl Scouts that even carefully planned out stuff doesn't go as planned. I was a brownie. I was really, really proud because I had sold a ton of Girl Scout cookies. And all the boxes had come in and they were all in my basement, in my garage. I had carefully planned out who I had sold them to and how far they were from my house. Now, this was back in the day when we actually went house to house and delivered all this on our own. We don't quite do that anymore. But I had figured out how many boxes would fit in my wagon and how high up it could be and how far I could go without having to return to the house. I had basically mapped out the entire neighborhood. And that morning, when the day for the beginning of the delivery started, I went down there before school and started to parcel out the boxes so that I know who goes where, have it all ready. And I suddenly realized that there seemed to be a huge lack of Thin Mint boxes. I looked everywhere for those Thin Mints. And after my sister went into the bathroom, I went and looked under her bed. And under my sister's bed were several flattened boxes of Thin Mints. All gone. My sister was only 4 at the time, and boy, would she kill me when she hears that she told this story. But she had eaten through most of the Thin Mints. What a learning. As the old Yiddish proverb goes, mankind plans, God laughs. Today's story is when you give up your plans. It's about what happens when you give up your plans and you let God be in control. It's one of the first lessons Jesus taught these disciples, is to give up control to God, to embrace the out-of-control life of discipleship. Simon Peter, James, and John had a plan, you see. They had a set schedule. They fished at night. They cleaned and they repaired their nets in the morning. They rested in the afternoon. They spent evenings with their families. And they went back out at night to fish once again. Their schedule was real nice and neat and tidy. But it had one big problem. There were no fish. Mother Nature has a habit of breaking our schedules. So they were catching no fish. Their schedule was full. Everything was according to the master plan and master lists. But their nets and their coffers and their lives were empty. And here comes Jesus. He arrives at the edge of the water and told them to go back out into the deep water. Now, this is exactly what the three men had been doing all night long in the deep water. And I can imagine Simon Peter had a lot of patience, not just to throw up the nets and say, "Are you kidding me?" and to walk away. But something about Jesus captivated him. Something told him not to go ahead and veer off that well-charted course. Now, his advice was against all that they had known as fishermen. Deep waters in the morning usually isn't a very fruitful adventure there. But within minutes, their nets were filled with fish to the bursting point. They had more of a catch than any of them had ever imagined possible. Boy, there's nothing like the abundance of God to point to exactly where Simon Peter, James, John, you and me are lacking. God had more to offer than a set of daily schedules, duties, a routine that allowed for nothing but nothing exceptional, nothing extraordinary, nothing unexpected. When the kingdom of God washed over Simon Peter, James, and John, it nearly sank their boats, and it totally desixed their illusions of control. In the light of Jesus, Simon Peter suddenly saw who he really was. Instead of being a fisherman or an independent businessman, he cried out, "I'm a sinful man." And the only control Simon Peter wielded was the ability to let go, to fall on his knees, to confess his humble humanity. The last step Simon, James, and John ever made on their own was to follow Jesus. Their lives totally went out of control because they turned their lives, their trusts, their futures, and followed God. Being in control has become quite an addiction for our culture. And not just for the younger generations, not the Google generations. When's the last time you sort of didn't have a control device in your hand or on your person? Now, I know on Super Bowl Sunday to ask you when's the last time you had a control device in your hand is kind of a loaded question, isn't it? What about a remote? If not a remote, a cell phone, a BlackBerry, iPhone, laptop, GPS, they're all controllers. We learn young to be controllers. If it isn't world domination in the Xbox or PS3, it's world domination with Monopoly. Our kids are growing up being directors of all things, especially all things digital. Now, I don't want to pick on digital life solely. I mean, this was way before digital life. Did we think about plans being the way to go? Come on, we never write an essay without an outline, a movie without a storyboard. And I was always told to do your homework in the order that you didn't like first. You're supposed to plan out every moment of your day. How else would you fit it all in? We try to control. We try to fit in. We try to fit it all in. Until we cannot. So what's the biggest thing keeping some of us from being full and authentic disciples of Jesus? It's our refusal to give up that control. More accurately, our illusion of that control. When the earthquake hit Haiti and took down homes, took down the Capitol building, it took down the cathedral, but the most devastating takedown was the cell towers. The electronic grid that had enabled people to communicate with each other was suddenly gone. Everyone everywhere was suddenly out of touch, out of control, on their own. When mudslides and downing rains and hurricanes cascade on unsuspecting communities, what's the biggest headache for emergency crews? People who don't leave their homes. People who refuse to evacuate areas judged to be in danger. People who say they are just staying in to take charge of their property. They think they are keeping tabs on their stuff, that they are guarding their life. Control junkies think they can stare down Mother Nature with some sandbags, a hose, and a plan. Sure, they are afraid of losing their homes, their incomes, and their things, but the biggest fear that they have is admitting that they've lost control. Their lives are no longer in their own hands. So you might say, I might say, I'm not a control freak. I'm not a control junkie. Okay, let's see. Leonard Sweet, who's a professor of homiletics, came with a simple test of control freakness. The control junkie scale. 7 signs, 7 tip-offs, and he called them the 7 beatitudes of a control junkie. 1, you are large and in charge. Always and at all times give the impression that you are in control. Never evidence of any feelings of inadequacy. Be always right. This is 2. Try to look better and more right than others. Work harder than anyone else around you. 3, take the credit whenever things go according to plan. And if something goes awry, it's not your fault. Find a scapegoat and blame others. 4, you have learned not to trust others. You can only trust yourself. 5, deny all negative feelings, fears, and doubts. Keep on task. Suppress weaker emotions. Don't admit your feelings or fears. Anybody feeling a little bit of these to be kind of true somewhere? I do. 6, find the one right answer to every problem. I love that, one right answer. And insist everyone else follow that one right answer. 7, hold a grudge. Disputes are never resolved in healing. Disagreements and fights can continue on forever. Control freaks count on power of their controllers and the power of their intellect and the power of their powers and the power of their portfolios and securities to give them everything they need to survive. Disciples, what we're called to be, hand over whatever control they might have and make way for the power of God, for the power of faith, and for the power of the cross. The Beatitudes Jesus offered were also a manifesto of how we are to live out of control lives. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Blessed are those who hand over their controllers. So maybe your controller isn't a TV remote or a GPS system. Maybe it's something else. What is your controller? Have you handed it over? Can you take your hands off of it and pause, maybe even for just a moment, Can you see the fears and anxieties that are really driving you? Can you give up your control to God? Is Jesus calling you to be your king? We are called to trust God, to step out, to step out into the unknown, to find true joy, not in our plans, but in our lives, to let God's abundance be what weighs down our boats.